Hello, I'm Jeff Heisner with the Michigan District of the LCMS, and this is the Thought Leaders Podcast. And again, we're joined by experts in mental health, in Reverend John Rachi, and the Michigan District's mental health case manager, Christy Hansard. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're looking out for that mental health of our workers and members here in the Michigan District. As the Dean of Students at Concordia in Ann Arbor, Reverend Rachi, we're hearing about this concept of compassion fatigue. Why don't you talk a little bit about what that is, and then how do we spot it in ourselves and in others?
Well, Jeff, thank you for having us back again. In this month, I think it's so important to get out the message about how we can care for ourselves and those around us emotionally, mentally, as well as spiritually and physically. And so, yes, I'd love to share today as a therapist for over 30 years in private practice, as well as a pastor in the Lutheran Church, and now as a dean of students, about assessing ourselves today and others when it comes to compassion fatigue, anxiety, depression, stress, and much more. Compassion fatigue, I think it's important to take a moment and just consider what it is. I think it's defined as an indifference to others, kind of when they're suffering. See, we come to a point where it's a result of exposure to the frequency or number of appeals by people around us, often the result of working directly with those who are hurt the most. Now, that can be like victims of disasters or trauma or illness, especially in the healthcare industry, like Christy, as a nurse, may know. But also, make no mistake, church workers and their families are also at risk because of their helping professions and, to be honest, their kind hearts, wanting to make a difference and show Jesus' love. It has similar symptoms to burnout, but it's absorbing the trauma and emotional stress of others, taking those things inside ourselves and creating a secondary traumatic stress in the helper, the person who's trying to make a difference. Jeff, I've seen this many times in congregation and school settings. For instance, like the pastor who cares for members at the hospital, conducts a funeral service, has an emotional multi-hour meeting with the elders, and is up all night with his sick children, all in the same day. And those kinds of days run on for weeks and months. Or maybe the teacher who works 12 to 14-hour days, does a great job in the classroom, meets with parents after school, leads a committee or ministry in the evening, and is the caregiver for a chronically ill loved one. And lives are just extended. And that existence goes on for weeks or months or even years. And then we add COVID and other things on top of it. Their family members are also pushed to the max then, trying to manage all the other aspects of life that they aren't able to. I guess I see it as that quiet time and rest that's needed so much. They're just in short supply for everyone. And over time, I've seen this damage that can cause pieces in everyone's life and their families and friendships. Jeff, I've even seen it in my family over time. I also see Jesus. In the Gospels, he actually is going to quiet places to rest and pray. And he invites his disciples, his followers, to join him. One takeaway from that, I believe, is that it's a godly thing to follow Jesus in those ways. They are part of Sabbath that God invites and commands us to practice in our lives. You asked about spotting it. For whoever's listening, I think there are some signs that we can see. So just a couple of those. One is that chronic physical and emotional exhaustion. We're just tired all the time. That, to me, is one of the biggest warning signs to say, something's off. I've got to address this. Instead of pushing through or trying to do the right thing or not disappoint someone or ourselves, pause. Take care of ourselves. I think we can see when in our own life or maybe in our loved ones' lives, this maybe a way to say it is depersonalizing. We kind of distance ourselves emotionally from those around us, especially those we serve. You know, when people become projects to check off the list instead of enjoying or deeply connecting with them, we simply don't have the capacity for such emotional connection. And that leads to irritability, feelings of resentment, or maybe inequity towards others. especially in the caregiver relationship, as we're pouring life or trying to in other people, we just can't pour from an empty cup. And so even our health can be impacted. Difficulty sleeping, weight loss, headaches, body aches, and it can lead to depression, even deeper pieces of emotional dis-ease. But there are some things we can do about compassion fatigue. And this is what I want our hearers to hear today. When we spot that, can we set down our electronics for a moment and pray? Can we read scripture and be reminded that we are loved and that God will manage all of the details in life? In fact, he holds the universe in his hands, even our details, because he holds us in his hands. Can we educate ourselves? Can we learn more about fatigue and how to manage life in healthier ways and what it can lead to, as well as our body reactions? But I really want our hearers to practice self-care, to get rest, really. And hear me on this. It's not selfish to get rest. Jesus went away to a quiet place. We just mentioned that. It actually can be caring for this temple, this body he's given us to live in by his Spirit. God can and will provide for his creation. That's our trust. Even if we as individuals aren't the one to show up for everything and everybody, and that's part of that self-care too. Remember, it may not feel good going in, but the reward comes after, not before.
Yeah. And I was going to say, getting that rest, probably not easy for a lot of us, right? Because we're at this frantic pace, you know, 100 miles per hour all the time.
That's right, Jeff. And it may even require us to have some conversations with loved ones or even supervisors and coworkers. And these might be a bit uncomfortable. We might feel like we're letting them down, or they might feel like it. But I can assure everyone that's listening, the district staff, both Christy and myself, we can assist in these kinds of things because it's important throughout life to build and use that support network and rely on one another in the body of Christ, in our families that God has provided, our team of people, as I refer to it, that God has put in our life or that we want in our life, including our pastor or a therapist. And reducing work stress and setting emotional boundaries, all of those things are really important that pastors and therapists and others can help with. But you're right, it can be difficult, and it's worth it. Difficult and worth it. I would also say there are some other things, and I don't mean to add to people's plates, but some of those outside hobbies, even just sitting and watching our children play soccer instead of on the cell phone trying to answer people, can be a gift to ourselves to heal and restore and see and think in the way God wants us to. But cultivating healthy friendships outside of work and our family can be helpful. Keeping a journal, there can be any number of things that people can do.
Great advice. Now, Christy, you talked with pastors at our pastors' conference recently. What kinds of concerns are you hearing from them?
Thanks, Jeff. I think one of the biggest things I'm seeing is unrealistic expectations. Expectations that once I get vaccinated, everything will go back to normal. That once the restrictions are lifted, that they have an unrealistic expectation that things will go back to exactly the way they were before we went through the pandemic. And that's just not true. The pandemic has been part of our formation. There's been grief, there's been loss, but there's also been growth. We have discovered new ways of self-care, and also caring for our neighbors. I think that that's part of the problem. So many times we see people turning inwardly towards themselves, talking about their rights, my body, my decisions, the way I want to worship, the way I want to meet God, instead of being open and letting that formation happen, letting God do the doing, so to speak, and come to us and also to our neighbors. So many times, and if I remember correctly, Jesus first told us to deny self, then pick up our cross, not the other way around. So I think maybe some self-denying is part of it. And that sounds very contraindicated to self-care, but I really think that we can do both. John did a great job talking about different things that we can do. I would love to add prayer. That is a perfect time that we can take some time out. We can rest in the Lord. We can pray. We can meditate. That's one way that we can find that peace.
So we're finally seeing, and I know you touched on this just a second ago, we're finally seeing that light, maybe a small light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to this pandemic. What kinds of anxiety, depression, stresses have you seen and heard about throughout this time? And I'm pretty certain, as you talked about, these things don't immediately go away as soon as you get that COVID-19 vaccination.
No, Jeff, they don't. I've seen people across the continuum of functioning, from church professionals and family members who have shut down and stopped working, or just staying in their homes out of fear or exhaustion, to angry people who are tired of all of the COVID changes and the politicizing of it all, to overworked, wonderful hearted folks who want to help and serve their family, school, church, and more, but over time have depleted their energy and resources. Even these kinds of stressful lifestyles persist. Even when they do, they can easily lead to anxiety and depression, which can have a component of frustration linked to them from past or present stresses and trauma as well. It just compounds and compiles all of that on top of each other. These will take time and attention to change or heal, but that work is worth it. Our loving God is able to walk us through it all and bring us to the other side of any valley of the shadow of death, as David praises in Psalm 23. Christy, what have you seen?
It's interesting that you brought that up. There was a research project that was just done by parish nurses and some of the things that they found. And we continue as nurses, and we can share these skills, is to learn some assessment skills, how to be able to identify these things. They talked about using nursing diagnoses, that we're seeing what we call Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Anybody that's in a medical professional setting probably had to learn about those. And so I think maybe focusing on that a little bit, looking at the physiological needs that we have, starting with that, talking about food and water and warmth, and John so eloquently talked about rest. Those are essentials. Those are the primary needs that we need. The next one, believe it or not, is security and safety. And we can find that in our Lord. There's so much scripture that talks about finding our security and our identity in Him. And then I think the next thing is where we're sitting right now is belonging and love, intimate relationships and friends. And I think maybe that's where I'm starting to see the rub, that we're right in there, that these are things that we would like, because some of the other needs are being met. So that seems to be where the focus is right now.
Well, Christy, since you brought it up, why don't we go into a little more detail and talk about those assessment tools and skills that anyone can really use, right, in caring for yourself or for others?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that nurses have a love-hate relationship is the scale of 1 to 10. We use it for so many things. And one of the things that we can do is use that scale and we did this with the Southeast Pastors Conference, on a scale from 1 to 10, where do you think you sit? It's a very subjective way of identifying where you may be. For someone, 3 may be asked, just not okay. It's not acceptable. Where someone else may say that 3 is tolerable when we're talking about our mental health. And looking at that spectrum of health and trying to figure out where we sit in there. After that, we can look at maybe what we want our emotional life to look like 6 months from now, or even a year from now, and work backwards. I see so many times people focus on what they want right this second. And when it doesn't happen, it's very frustrating. But if we can push that timeline out a little bit and look at what maybe 3 months may look like for our mental health, and then work backwards, and then take a small step. Don't take on the entire task or the entire desire of where you want to be all in one big step. Ask yourself, is there anything that I can do today to move towards that? Not complete it, but move towards it.
How can we respond to anxiety, depression, and stress that we're seeing all around us?
I think that's a great question, Jeff. Maybe just for a note, because all of the hearers may not have an appreciation of what these terms mean. Anxiety is that feeling of worry or nervousness, an unease, typically about an imminent event, but it's something with an uncertain outcome, a similar physical response to fear of actual threat. Depression, however, is a constant feeling of sadness or loss of interest, which stops you doing normal activities. And there are different types of depression, and with symptoms ranging from relatively minor to severe. Generally, depression does not result from a single event, but is from a mix of events and factors. And then stress, and all of us can feel stress. From the beautiful things in life, like having a new baby, it's a wonderful thing, and yet it creates stress, and to things that maybe aren't so nice. Stress is a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances that happen to us or we create. But through each of these, we may be able to see some way out. You know, each of them have a unique variation of how to respond in a healthy way. But generally, the healthiest response to any of these is to talk with someone. Talk with God about it, as Christy and I both mentioned here, taking that time to speak to him about them. That's really powerful. We are people of the word, and our words make a difference to God and his words to us. But I also want to say, when we're experiencing these things in life that just isn't working the way we think it should, we can really talk to other people. We don't have to be afraid of that. Whether that's a loved one or a friend to begin with, or a pastor, or even a mental health clinical therapist, talk to people about what's going on. You don't have to struggle with these alone. And you don't need to struggle as you may have been for a while. I'd like to note that mental health professionals, they add to the benefit of moving beyond those or learning new ways of managing, because though you meet and talk in a confidential place where no one will share what happens in that room, they can assess your overall functioning and look for not only how to help with immediate issues and to get the help that's needed now if life just isn't working, so that people can be stable and can begin to function again in healthy ways, but also they begin to explore what's behind it. Be curious and help a person be curious about the issues or feelings or the things that are going on that are causing the depression or anxiety. That's when God can do some of his best healing and restoration work. When we see how he has done the work in our lives as his baptized loved kids, he begins to open us up to what he wants us to live and think every day. Those who are Christian as therapists, they may pray with you and discuss what God says in Scripture about these pieces that we're walking with or how to live. But remember, above all, that our Father loves us with an everlasting love. His only Son, who rose to bring each of us new life, has promised to be with us forever. And God the Spirit will be your strength when yours is gone. That's his promise. And he is always, always faithful. He will see us through to the other side, to a new way of life with him.
So how can people here in the Michigan District who are listening right now contact you to get the help that they might need?
Well, there's a couple of ways. I think the quickest is just, you know, give me a call. For those of you that don't know what a case manager does, it simply connects people to people and people to resources. And sometimes I can just ask maybe some open-ended questions and find out where somebody is. And sometimes you just need a new perspective that may come with some self-care tips, or it may come from a medical professional that may need to dive in a little deeper. We have tons of resources on our website, michigandistrict.org. So you can peruse those and see if maybe that's where you can find some help.
And of course, one of the things I want to point everybody to also is our website at michigandistrict.org. You can go to the search menu, type in mental health case manager or Christy Hansard and get a lot of those questions on how to contact you right there. So that's another great option as well. When is it time to refer someone for medical issues?
Well, I think any time is a good time. If you're thinking that you might need help, then you probably do. And that can be on a spectrum of right of just needing maybe a little bit of tweaking, or maybe you need to dive in and maybe there's some other things that are coming to the surface. I think one of the things the pandemic has done has exacerbated some of the places where we were. We might have been maintaining or coping, and I think that the pandemic might have put a stressor on those, and now they're becoming a problem. Coping is not healing, so to speak, and there may need to be some healing and not just treading water. The other thing is that if they're interfering with your daily activities, right? So if these issues are interfering, like John said, with sleep, with rest, with work, with caring for your family.
God made us mind, body, and spirit, Jeff. So I'm thrilled today that Christy and I could talk about all of those pieces as they're being challenged in so many ways today, that people can get the help that they need to walk beside them as they grow and they heal. The Lord is with us, and He's promised to walk with us and bring the people in our life. My hope today is that everyone who hears this is open to what He and His Word can do in our life. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. And I know we've covered a lot in these two podcasts. Is there anything that we're missing in regards to mental health that you both like to address?
I do want to say that I believe Jesus Christ was not only 100% God, but 100% man. As we believe and hold true from Scripture, He experienced everything that we can experience in this lifetime. And He had a vibrant walk with the Father. They were one. That is what the Lord wants for each of us, to have a vibrant walk with Him. And He's done this through the waters of baptism. There is hope. There is help. God can do amazing things, more immeasurably more than anything we can think or imagine. And so I just want to encourage those that are listening that have a loved one who's struggling, or they are hurting in some way, or they think there's something wrong physically or emotionally or even spiritually, to talk to someone and keep praying. It's worth it to reach out.
I think one of the things that I would like to leave our audience with is that if you do suspect that somebody might be struggling, to imitate Jesus. He responded in compassion, and I think that we're called to do that for each other as well.
We want to thank you both for joining us. We also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in to the Michigan District's Thought Leader Podcast.